Morning, church. Buenos días. Well, we are in this sermon series on evangelism, and the idea is to activate ourselves to continue preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel with other people. So today we're going to that's the last Sunday. So if you missed last Sunday, please check that sermon. So today is Revelation 12:11. They triumph over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. This is a very powerful Bible text, because the challenge here is that because of the blood of the Lamb, we can testify that Jesus is alive and he's real. And my challenge for you today is, as we leave this place, that we begin to share the gospel like never before. So you have the resurrection and you have the second coming of Jesus, but you also have the visitation of the Holy Spirit. So when Christ died on the cross, the disciples were they have fear. They don't know what to do. They went back to the same thing they were doing before. And then Jesus came alive. The Holy Spirit came. And then suddenly they were bold to share the gospel. So between these two events, the teaching is that without the Holy Spirit and without the resurrection of Jesus as our Lord and Savior, testifying and witnessing that he is who he said he is, that will give us the authority and the conviction to go out and share the gospel with other people. So the best way to experience this is to talk a little bit about these three main points: the power of the testimony, personal stories change life. So even in the media today, you hear so much about, I don't care what people think, I do what I want, I'm going to take your opinion to the bank and see how much that gives me. You hear all of that, but in reality, we, as disciples of Jesus, we do care what people think about us. Because without a testimony, you cannot witness. Does that make sense? So we cannot just go around and do what people do when they say, I don't care. Yes, we care. We need to care. Especially for our family. When our family see the transformation, they begin to wonder what happened. You have changed, and that's an opportunity for us to change and to share the testimony and change life. And then the testimony shows the victory in Christ, so we don't talk about ourselves. We witness about Jesus. And also the sacrifice of going out and receive the great commission, which is go and preach the gospel. And for that, we have discomfort. And this, in spite of our risk and our fears, we go and do it. So today, the best way to do this, we're going to ask some questions to reflect and make it as practical as possible. This is one of the sermons that I really believe that it's not about how much we talk, it's about how much we act. So for us to do that, I'm going to invite to the stage our new youth or student pastor, Jeff Mayot, and I'm going to interview him a little bit. He's on fire. Can you put your hands together for our pastor? And we're going to talk a little bit about evangelism in a very practical way. That way, you don't feel like you're only hearing words, but you have some reference to take some action. So question number one is, so who you are, because sometimes people don't know who you are, and also online. So tell us a bit about who you are and when you came here and why St. John.
So this is on, right? This is on?
I think so. But if not, project your voice like a Marine.
So my name's Jeff. I'm the, as Pastor Yoshua mentioned, I'm the new student minister here. I've been here since about May. A little bit about myself. I, right out of high school, I joined the Marine Corps, spent some time there. I did not become a Christian. It's been less than a decade. And as soon as I became a Christian, I felt this calling to do more for his kingdom. I am married. I have four kids. And why St. John? So whenever I decided to actually follow my calling, which took my wife saying, hey, are you going to listen to God or are you just going to keep pursuing other things? But whenever I did that, I was looking at some churches somewhat close to me. I live over in New Albany, and I at first didn't think I was equipped. And then a mentor of mine said, well, you need to go ahead and apply because it's not your job to close the door. You know, God will close the door if he doesn't want you there. So I filled out an application and did a few interviews and culminated with the interview with Pastor Yoshmar, which whenever I was on my way here for my last interview, which was with him, I'm not going to lie, I still had some, you know, concerns and all that. Wasn't sure if I was where I was supposed to be. And I pulled over at the IGA, which I just discovered that store, and it's pretty awesome for me anyways, especially when I'm hungry in the middle of the day. But yeah, so I pulled over, and I prayed to God, and I said, hey, God, like, if a little informal prayer, I need you to give me a clear sign that St. John is where I'm supposed to be at. When I meet this man, I had never met him before. I watched him online a few times. But I was like, I need you to make it very clear that this is where I'm supposed to be. And so said a little quick little prayer, kept driving, and then I started talking to him. And the first thing was immediately him and I aligned on so many things because he started sharing his testimony. But then what happened was it started to storm. And for me, every good thing in my life, there's always a storm that's happening, either day before, day after, the day of. There's always a storm involved. So whenever I'm sitting there talking to Pastor Yoshua, and all of a sudden a big old, you know, thunderous boom happens outside, I'm like, okay, I'm supposed to be at St. John. Got it. I'm accepting this no matter what happens here. And so that's a little bit about me and how I got here.
Thank you, Jeff. Well, you know, we want to ask these questions so the audience and our people, as they hear these questions, they will reflect on their own life. But I wanted to do a practical, you know, as practical as possible so they can relate more and get some learning from your life. So first question, can you share a moment from your own life when you first felt called to live out evangelism as a lifestyle?
Yeah, so for me, I'm going to rewind a little bit after I say this, but it was the first moment I stepped into a church. And let me tell you why. It's because I didn't grow up in a Christian family. It was a very sinful family. I didn't know anything about Christ. And I was at a very dark spot in my life whenever I found Christ. And what led me to the church was actually a song on the radio and all that. And then I went to church, you know, because I heard the song by Mercy Me, and it was called Even If, you know, some of y'all may have heard it. And it talks about, you know, how even if, you know, he's not saved from the fire, he's still going to put, you know, all of his trust in him. And, you know, I was sitting there wondering, you know, well, who is this person that, you know, that I'm going to put my trust in you, even if, you know, even if you don't save me from the fire. And so heard that song and broke down. But then I went to church, okay? And when I was in church, the first thing I saw when I walked in were these grown men raising their hands, you know, just for whatever reason. That was my thought at the time, you know, just raising their hands, singing this music and all that. And I was like, okay, well, I knew I was getting called. I need to be doing what they're doing. I need to be, you know, worshiping God because he's what's going to bring me peace. And that's what I've gathered from this song. And so I raised my hands up and I began worshiping. And just an overwhelming feeling of just peace. And like I said, this was one of the darkest times in my life. And I knew that, you know, I had to share this with everyone else. I had to share this with my family. I had to share this with my Marine Corps brothers. I had to share this with my friends who didn't know God. I had to share this with my friends who I knew were Christians just because I need to let them know, hey, I know what the good news is now. And so that's probably the first time I felt called to share.
So as you share your life with people, so that's the first question is very connected to you. The Great Commission, and I shared last Sunday, it's not the Great Suggestion, it's the Great Commission. And how do we go out and share with people? We usually start with people that we know, you know, it's more comfortable, and then little by little we share with people that we don't know. So our family is our first core group. So what was one of the most memorable experiences you had while sharing the faith with someone, and how did it affect you?
So the most memorable experience I have sharing with someone was my best friend, Dragon. Not his real name, but it's his real name's top secret. It was sharing with him. So he's my best friend. We served in the Marine Corps together. We did multiple deployments together. Best man at my wedding. I remember he came in town for our wedding, and he kind of experienced a lot of what had changed me, and how I became a Christian and all that. He told me while he was here, I want to start maybe reading the Bible with you. I was like, oh, that's awesome. I got super excited for that. So obviously we went on our honeymoon and all that and came home, and one of the things I was most excited for was to call Dragon talk to him about the Bible. And I remember while I was talking to him, I got really nervous, though. I got really nervous because this is my best friend. I barely know anything. I shouldn't be, talking to him about what the good news is. I just learned it. I'm not a doctor. So what that led to, though, was our relationship getting stronger and stronger by me sharing the good news with him and talking with him. My confidence grew, and he was getting led to Christ. So I was learning more. He was getting led to Christ, and it all ended. It didn't end, but it all reached an amazing point whenever he called me up and said, "Hey, I think I want to get baptized." And that led us to driving up to Maryland to baptize him in Lake Ligonier, which is probably the one of the most impactful ways evangelism has just affected me, is because I shared the news with my Marine Corps brother, and then that actually led to both of us finding out that other Marines that we knew were Christians, and just strengthens our bonds there and all that. And it was just and the three that I particularly think of, we all struggle, with PTSD and stuff, so to have someone to know who God is, and to know we are loved and we are forgiven, and to be able to share that with them has just been so impactful to us. And seeing it trickle down from him to then us sharing it with other people has just been amazing.
Powerful. Especially, I love to watch Marine movies, but I'm not a Marine. So every time I see all those movies, I have a little window, a glance on how the Marine life is. So for a person like you, who go into deep, dark places in the world, to bring balance, for the lack of a better word, having all this training to fight and fight and fight and not surrender. So how, when Jesus come to us, the first thing we need to do before we can do anything is to surrender, basically. And sometimes when I hear some sermons and preaching about, receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, the first question actually is not receiving Jesus. The first question is, do you surrender your life? It's like, you have to go. So how do you incorporate that in your life, do evangelism, but then bringing all to you everyday life, all these activities that you do, give example to people, but give example to people through your life. So can you share a bit about impactful ways to share that into your life, how you in daily life apply all of this?
Yeah, first I want to touch on the word surrender, because that is ingrained in us not to do that. You don't surrender. The more and more I surrender to Christ, the closer I get to him, the more I want to share the good news and all that. And I'll tell you, it wasn't an immediate surrender. Like, I'm going to, as much as I said I wanted to go out and preach the good news, as soon as I stepped into church, yeah, I wanted to. But my mind still said, well, you're not going to do that. You're not going to, surrender completely. That's why it took more years before I went into ministry. And how I incorporate evangelism in my everyday activities So I'm weird. Has anyone ever heard the song Jesus Freak by chance, maybe? Yeah? Oh, yeah. So I'm the Jesus Freak, okay? So one of my most favorite ways to evangelize is I will go into the gym and just I will worship the entire time I'm working out. And I don't mean worship in my head. I mean I'm going to sing about God. One of my favorite songs to work out to is by Casting Crowns. And I love just singing. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who saved my soul. And like I will, especially when I'm singing that, I will sing that as loud as I can. And you know how many new personal reps new records I set for myself whenever I sing that song? So many. So many new PRs. And so that's one of my favorite ways to evangelize, because what that does is open up the conversation. So they hear me, and I've had people come up to me and say, hey, do you know you're singing kind of loud? Yeah, you want to talk about it? You want to talk about the song? Hey, this is the song I'm singing. Or like maybe I'm listening to some hip-hop Christian music, and they'll see me just rocking to it, and they'll be like, hey, what are you listening to? I love to, be listening to good music. I'm like, oh, well, it's actually Marcus Rogers, the song is Son of God. Here, you can listen to it, And so that's one of my favorite ways to evangelize. But for me also, for my the people I've really got to interact with, a lot of times it's been like my clothing, or it's been how I talk, or if I pray at a meal and all that. So all these ways open up these doors, when I hear someone, that likes loud music, I'm like, oh yeah, let me play this song for you. Here's a Skillet song, like I make sure I know every genre of music, that way I can be like, hey, well, here, this song talks about Jesus. This person talks about Jesus. And so all these different ways are maybe ways that, back then they couldn't do it. back in biblical times, they couldn't, play loud music on their radio that, talks about Christ. They may not have been able to, I guess they could have still worked out and praised them. That would have been pretty cool, right? Seeing Peter just, pump out some reps. That's the way I've done it. And it's been so impactful to me. I literally just had a guy come up to me in the gym the other day. He came up to me, and he knows my beliefs, and we've talked multiple times and all that. And he came up to me, and he said, hey, man, how you doing? I said, I'm doing great. And he invited me to come train with him and his friends. He invited me to their training for the it was called the World Gay Games is what they're called. They're training for the swimming competition and all that, and they invited me to come train with them because, for me, like I'm going to share the good news with everyone, and I shared it in a mannerism that we still love each other, we still spot each other in the gym, we still work out together. So for me, it's loving absolutely everyone and just sharing the good news with everyone, no matter who you are.
So that's powerful. So, but the first question I really want to ask you these questions, because in these movies that I watch, Marines have no fear, okay? So I want to check the fact with you. Is that real, that Marines have no fear? And second, connected to this is, have you ever experienced this fear of to face rejection while doing evangelism? How you handle it? And what advice can you give to people? Because that's one of the biggest challenges to evangelism is fear, this fear of being rejected. So can you talk about those two? Is that real that Marines have no fear? And if you conquer fear to fight, I guess we can conquer the fear to you not to share the gospel, because that's the challenge there.
Yeah, I would say until I got out of the Marine Corps, there was no fear. But then something happened. One, I met my wife, and that created some fear. I know who the boss is in the house. And then the second, I met God. I fear God. He's love God, but I know his power, and I fear my wife. Other than that, yeah, Marines have no fear. You can deploy me anywhere, and I'm going to be perfectly fine. I do not mind. There's a little bit more fear when it comes to being rejected, though. The no fear that I would say a lot of Marines have, it's a fear, a battle, a fear of war, not so much a fear of rejection. And so with that fear, it can be very intimidating, you know. Like, as I mentioned, my family are Christians and all that. I've tried to pray with them. I've tried to talk about the good news with them, and they don't want to hear it. But I'm going to keep doing it. But I have a lot of fear of that every time I bring it up, just trying to have the conversations with them. Mm-hmm. But see, I have a certain mentality for that. Let's say you have three daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Sulam, okay? She started walking to the edge of a bridge, okay? And she was going to jump. You went to stop her.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, no, I'm good. Are you just going to let her go, let her jump?
No.
You're not. You're going to do everything you can to save her life.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter how many times my family rejects me praying, rejects me sharing the good news with them, I'm going to keep pursuing them. I'm not going to let them just go off the bridge. I'm going to continue chasing after them, and I will hold on to them. Even if they're only giving me their pinky, I'm going to hold on to their pinky, and they're not going to be able to jump off that bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I handle it. It's like I wouldn't let them do it any other way. Why am I going to let them do it spiritually? Why am I going to let them not receive the good news when the most important part of their life is their spiritual relationship?
Yes. And that's connected to the actual understanding and if you really believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, there's no life outside of him. You know, this need to make sure that especially the people that you love, people that you know, hear the gospel. I think that's the big challenge. That's what motivates me to go and share the gospel with people, is that knowing that's the truth. I mean, I cannot deviate from that, and that's the big challenge. So the last question is, what is your vision for our congregation when it comes to evangelism? And how do you believe we can all contribute to creating a culture of soul winning for St. John?
So I would say my vision would be that if you're not unashamed already, you need to become unashamed. You need to become unashamed, undignified when it comes to your worship. Just you need to... whether it's here, or you sing a song in your car, like no matter when you're doing it, if you hear it in a store, you need to, you know, even you don't have to be me and sound like a dying cat in the middle of the store, but like you can like give them a little bit of praise when you hear it, because when you do that, people are going to hear that, and they may think, well, that person's kind of crazy, but they may also think, you know, I want some of what he's having, you know, and come up and talk to her what she's having, and want to talk to you and be like, you really feel into the song, you know? Is this one of your favorite songs? Yeah, let me tell you why, you know? Or plenty of us, you know, we're particular on the clothes we wear, and that's perfectly fine. But if you're a hat wearer, you know, you don't have to have only, you know, hats that represent, you know, that show something about Christ, but incorporate stuff, you know, that starts those conversations, whether it's a shirt, or it could be the shirt you cut your grass in, you know, if you're I have a friend who, he only dresses nice, and so, hey, it's kind of hard for him to find a shirt that has it on it, but just incorporate in everything you do. If you work out, do it when you work out. If you have family over, you know, and you're playing music for the background, I love jazz just like everyone else, or I love country music, or name any genre besides opera. I just can't do it, sorry. But, like, incorporate Christian music in there. Let them hear it. If you're uncomfortable about how they're going to react, then you're probably doing the right thing. If you're uncomfortable on how this person's going to react to Christian music, then they probably need to hear it more than anyone else. Share the good news with someone. Ask them how you can pray for them. Ask them if they know who Christ is, you know, and if not, take advantage of that opportunity. I did something that I would challenge them all to do, and one of the most, going back to one of the questions, it was one of the most intimidating things I did, is before I came here, I was in IT for like 16 years, and I worked for this corporate company, and I decided, you know, well, there's plenty of people in this building, we should have a Bible study. There's nothing wrong with that. Most of y'all have a lunch break if you're working. Start a Bible study. Mm-hmm. Start a Bible study. We had people that weren't Christians that came to this Bible study to find out who Christ was. Start a Bible study. Okay, what's the worst that's going to happen? Your HR department says no? Okay, then you don't do it then. But you don't know until you try, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many different ways that you can do it. And my vision is that we are just so, every one of us is just unashamed of sharing it. are just pursuing an individual. Like, pick someone today and just pursue that individual and say, I want to share with you who God is.
Yeah. And that's the question with the fear, again, you know, conquering that fear. I remember when I was little, and I've been little all my life, so it was short.
Well,
and I was in the park, and I have one of the neighbors was a big guy, a bully, and he was bullying everybody, and he got me also. So he was bullying me, and my father happened to show up at that time, because we live in an apartment, and he looked down and said, Yosmar, if you don't hit him, I'm going to hit you. So I look at him and I look at the guy and I say, I'd rather hit this guy because I cannot hit that guy. So I start hitting this guy. He never met with me again. But the powerful thing is, so when you do evangelism, it's the same thing, right? You have fear in your life. Okay, look at your father, you know, and look at the person. I'd rather fear God than this person. So then you share and you conquer your fear and you do it. One of the breaking icebreaker that I use a lot is tattoos. You know, some people don't like tattoos and they are against tattoos. Forget about that. That's not what I'm talking about. Use tattoos as an icebreaker. When people do tattoos, something special, something, you know, key happens in their life. If you ask them about it, it opens the conversation. So if you see a cross, okay, why you have that? And that flowers, what is that? People start sharing their life like this, and they are proud about it because they did it, right? So that's a very powerful way, and most people today have a tattoo somewhere. So look at people and find those icebreakers just to start the conversation. It's powerful. And you learn things that you would not learn if you don't ask, if you don't initiate the conversation.
You know, one of my... you mentioned it, so I'll bring it up. One of my favorite tattoos, actually, it's on my ring finger. And if you ask anyone who gets tattoos, you never get your girlfriend, your wife, you know, you never get those people tattooed on you. And I was like, okay, yeah, you know, I get tattoos, so I would never do that. But see, then you give the option of divorce when you do that. You give the option, oh, I'll get everything tattooed on me except for my wife or something like that. So mine is actually, it has the top of a T, a bottom of a J, and a cross in the center to remind me each and every day that Christ has to remain the center of our marriage.
Wow.
So that opens up so many conversations.
Conversation,
with
wherever
yeah,
you
to
go.
Just talk about
just
Christ.
Talk to people.
Yeah.
Just talk to people. Just share in the Holy Spirit. Now, remember what I said last Sunday. Don't force the gospel on anyone. Just wait for those signs that the Holy Spirit is ahead of you, working in that person. And usually, if you wait, you will see it. Why? Because they are open. They share their life. They ask spiritual questions. They tear up. They share their life with you. I mean, just look for the signs. If you see no signs, move on. Don't force anything. They're not ready. But when you see the signs, that's your cue from the Spirit to start bringing Jesus into the conversation. And don't be afraid, because your job is not to make and force people, make disciples by force. You share the gospel, it's the job of the Holy Spirit to convince that person. You and I, under the Great Commission, are only responsible to be heralds. We just share the gospel, we just share the news, and that's it. Everything else from there, from that point forward, is God, and God himself, God only, and that's the thing that we need to do. So we have some tools. I don't know if you have it somewhere.
I do.
We have some tools from you, and Jeff is going to pass around. So if you see people, if you are short on words, we have a little script that you can read. You can tweak it so you don't have to start from zero. And we also have a card with, let me see the card. So we have this card that says, you know, make a difference, which is our church. And then it has a barcode there, and people can just, with the phone, look at it and see the website. But you can invite people to the church. You can share the gospel with that. That's it. So if you feel like you need help, you have some tools to use it. So put your hands together. Thank you, Jeff. So he goes around, just the application, you know, reflect on your faith journey and the impact that it has in your life. And then because of that, because you know Jesus, because you have been impacted by the gospel, you want other people to be impacted. Use your testimony to inspire other people, inspire hope in others. You know, remember that you don't have to have, you don't need to know that, you don't need to be in seminary, you don't need to have the Greek and the Hebrew of anything. You only need to know what God did in your life. Share that. The first church I planted, I was only 7 months in Christ. The first church, and I knew nothing. I didn't even know who Matthew was. This is what I knew. I knew what God did in my life. So I was sharing that again and again and again. You don't need to be an expert on Hebrew, on the 66th book of the Bible. Only you know about your life, right? Your life is perfect. No one was there, only God. So no one can say it's wrong or it's right, it's wrong or it's right. It's your life. And because it's your life, you can share it and no one can argue with it, right? So use that, you know, use your personal testimony. And my biggest encouragement to people who have been disciples of Jesus for many, 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 many years, keep sharing your testimony. It's powerful. And sometimes we share it at the very beginning and then we say, well, you know, people are tired to hear about it. No, you know, keep sharing your testimony. Keep sharing your testimony. The same thing with books. Some people, the reason we have authors and they write books and we buy other people's books because we value other people's lives more than our lives. That's the one of the reasons we don't have more writers and more book authors, because you don't value your own words as much as you value other people's words. So when you start writing about yourself and write and you value your own words as much as you value other people, then you start sharing your life more, because your life is important. Your life is key. Embrace vulnerability as you share. So share that with people. If you are anxious, if you are fearful, whatever, just share it. Just say it. Say to this person, I'm really, really nervous right now, but you know what? I need to say this. And that will help you. Instead of trying to hide your fears, just share your fears. Share your humanity and say, right now, I'm nervous, I'm anxious. It's the first time I do this, but guess what? I need to do it anyway. And just share it. Share it. That's the application of the sermon. Now, the call to action, write down your faith journey. So I encourage you to write your testimony, right? 0 to 10, 10 to 20, 20 to 30, 30 to 40, 40 to 50, 50 to 60, 60 to 70, 70 to 80, write what happens, the good, the bad, and the ugly of each decade. And as you do that, you're going to see God's fingerprints all over your life. Amen? But do that, you know, just write it down. So next time you see people, you have a 5-minute version and you have a long version, depending on how much time do you have to share it. But write down that and you see how God has been with you. I say to people, God has been in your past, he's in your present, and that's the guarantee that he will be with you in the future. So let's stop crying about the past and let's embrace it and look back to learn about our mistakes and then what? Move on, right? You don't want to be crying about your 30s and now you are living in your 50s. And then if you are not careful, you are going to lose your 52 because you are crying about something else that happens. And then you're 17, you look back and you were crying too. The 30s and your 50s, at what point you're going to start living? So what happened happens. God is with us. That's part of our testimony, to share the gospel with other people. And engage in a small group and share your story. Share your story with people. Practice with people that you know. Invite people here in St. John that you know and say, let's practice together. Let's do it, you and I. So when we meet people that we don't know or my family, then I'm more comfortable. Ask people prayers. I have a family meeting next week and I'm planning to share the gospel and my story with my family. Can you pray for me? Next weekend will be important. I mean, don't go into battle alone, right? Share the gospel with people. Share your testimony. Invite your sons and daughters to your house and say, I have something to share. And share your life again. I know that you know this, but I want you to hear again. Just share your life with your children first and your family members. Let's read together this powerful quote to close this sermon. 1, 2, 3. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, loving Father, help us to be courageous in sharing our stories. Use our testimonies to draw others to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.